when they were like, oh, who's a traitor? CT said, it's not one of those housewives. He's like looks to McBride at Felicia, and she's just eating herself, and she's like, he can say all these snide little comments.
Oh, when she's and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic bye moment of the
chaotic bye moment. Yeah. And you're watching Black Bye Reality.
Black Bye Baddie.
And those who love us. Hello, you're watching and or listening to Black Bye Reality, a place for Black Bye Baddies, those who love us. I am here to talk about Traitors episode 10 with Sabaya Broderick of Survivor 45. Hi, Sabaya.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get into it. Let's get into it. This episode was so crazy. I'm so excited to talk about it.
Same, same. As you know, our big cliffhanger came down to MJ. She has to choose between Phaedra and Peter, and we learn in this episode, Peter was banished.
About time. Honestly, they should have got him up out of there sooner than later. I'm telling you, I know that sometimes with banishments, it can be a little bit too obvious when you're gunning for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But as traitors, he was just such a, I mean, Phaedra, she calls him a bloodhound a couple of times, you know. Mm-hmm. He had their scent and he was not turning them loose, you know. Cut the head off the snake, please.
Yes.
So I was super happy to see that he was finally banished, but I do feel like they waited too long.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, yeah, what do you think about it?
I understand keeping Peter around because it's like there's a little suspicion there. So for Phaedra especially, she ended Peter at that one round table talking about he had secret deals. So yeah, but he ran out of time and we're just
But he had been doing that since Dan though. You know what I'm saying? So like I feel like they had a couple of opportunities throughout the last couple of banishments to just be like, all right, yeah, Peter, he's doing too much. Like, let's just get rid of him and run damage control. You know, people already think, but as long as he's in the mix, you know, it's like, he's so right. You know, and he's too right. And like, when people are too right, you gotta cut him out. Like, cause they're just, he's not doing anything but influencing the group and leading his little Peter pals and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, man, like, you gotta get him up out of there. You gotta get him out of there. So I'm glad they finally, you know, it finally happened. But wow, like, it just painted Phaedra in such a corner by now that she's just like swinging for her life right now on the ropes. So, yeah. I'm worried for my girl.
I know. After Peter is banished, we see her take a sip of water, which that had to be at the beginning. I cannot believe that she was that, like, flagrant about it.
Yeah, I mean, can we talk about Phaedra's demeanor? I feel like she's a little bit gassed out. You know, she's been kind of, like, you know, ostracized when it comes to strategy. Nobody's really wanting to run things by her. As honest as they are with everyone else, you know what I'm saying? People, she's priority number one. She's enemy number one, you know what I'm saying? And so I feel like she's feeling it a lot right now. And it's making it to where she's kind of having to rely on other people to fight for her, you know, insert Kate. So that's never good, you know, and she's kind of like struggling for her words, you know, and this is Phaedra. Like, Phaedra is a lawyer. We know that she's not somebody that can't speak and can't hold her own in a stressful situation. But with her being, you know, round table after round table after round table, she's having to plead her case. I feel like she's kind of getting gassed out a little bit, and it's disheartening just watch it, you know, play out like that. But it's like, I can only imagine how she feels. Like, she's tired.
She is. Afterwards, he goes to Sandra and Sheree, and she's just like, I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. If I fight for myself, it's like, why are you fighting so much? And if I don't, it's why isn't she fighting? And that's true. That's probably true for, like, everyone in this game, but it's like, you have to keep going. You have to keep going, Phaedra.
100%. The fatigue is so present, you know, like, in these game shows. Like, you're away from your family, you don't have your phone, you're, you know, just in it, you know. And it's kind of like, in the Marines, we call it like the fog of war. Like, you just end up being so in it, you know, that you do things that, you know, not, if you had rest, or if you had, you know, just a hindsight perspective, you wouldn't make those kinds of decisions, or you wouldn't say those kinds of things. So it's rough. Like I said, I really feel for her, honestly.
Yeah. Trishelle, she's still on this. I'm the biggest target, even though she keeps surviving. She's like, I might get murdered for this, but I think it's Phaedra, and I think we have two left, which I'm like, oh, she's okay. Not wrong.
Right. When she said they had two left, I was like, okay. You yeah. know, like, that's interesting. But, yeah, Trishelle, I'm not a big fan, honestly. Like, I feel like she wants to be, you know, she's doing too much, you know, and she's just been caught up. She's been caught up doing so much. Like, even just like approaching them, and like the way that she talks to people, it's so condescending, you know, and it's so, it's just icy, you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if she gets banished, it's not going to be because, you know, it's any type of real strategy. It's just going to be because people don't really want to work with her, and they're kind of sick of dealing with her mouth, you know?
I know. Yeah. As they were getting sick of John. After this, Kate and Phaedra do go to the tour, and they go over their options. Right. So, Phaedra, I think I still have it. Phaedra impersonates John, because at this point, she is over John and his speeches.
Oh, God, yeah. They're so long-winded. I mean, John being a politician, you know, I'm sure that it's usually, like, that's his niche, you know, speaking in front of people,
yeah.
laying everything out, having this big proclamation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, are we on the parliament floor? No, we're not, John. Please. Next page, you know, like, let's get it cracking. Like, he's really long-winded. Everything that he says is valid, but he could sum it up in like two sentences, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was it was super funny.
And tomorrow when I'm dead, you will know.
Murder. I'm like, oh my God, I could have taken a nap.
It was like, enough, we got it. You say Phaedra's a traitor. Yeah. Next, please.
We got it.
What are you talking about? Like,
and tomorrow when I'm dead. Yeah, no, she had enough. She had had enough. I feel like all of us had enough. Like, we were like, wow, is this really still going on? Valid, but nobody's killing John. You know, John's not the brains. And I feel like when it comes to the people that you're murdering, you don't murder the people that are following, you murder the leaders. You know, you murder the people that are dropping information that hasn't necessarily been vocalized, like a Peter or like a Trishelle. You know, like, you can tell that they, even Trishelle, kind of like haphazardly throwing out, I think there's two, you know, that would be something as a traitor that would like put my ears up, like, mm-hmm. like nobody said that. Like, you just completely like are using your intuition to navigate through the game. John, I haven't really, he's good at judging like character. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't feel like as far as the game, he really has his fingers to the pulse of it like Trishelle or like Peter did. So.
Yeah. Well, it's no surprise that those are the names that are out there. CT has a shield, so not possible. So it's Trishelle or John. Next morning is very interesting because MJ and Sandra are the first to go in. CT, he's the last man who joins them at breakfast.
Right.
And then Phaedra walks in. CT, he gives everyone some kisses on the cheek, and he calls Phaedra his favorite housewife. She's like, ooh, that's a compliment. And then
they're cute.
they're cute, but it's so funny now to see their dynamic, now that CT has fully like turned on Phaedra to her face by voting for her.
Right.
When they were like, oh, who's a traitor? CT said, it's not one of those housewives. He like looks to the side at Phaedra, and she's just eating her stuff, and she's like, he can say all these snide little comments.
Yeah, see, like, I wish that she was more vocal. Like, even with, like, going back to the challenge, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't Phaedra's idea to switch to Trishelle. It was Sandra's idea. She's the one that said, hey, why don't we just, you know, shoot the ones at the bottom and then go back to the top, because we had missed, you know, they missed seven in a row trying to get CT. So the reason why they switched the course of action was not Phaedra. It was Sandra. So that's perfect for her to be like, I know that I'm the one that did it, but it wasn't my wanting to do. I just knew that I could probably hit something that was at the bottom, and Sandra reaffirmed, and then I just went with what Sandra. Sandra's the traitor, you know. Yeah. And I feel like they were throwing her name, but they weren't cementing it as far as like actions of what she did, you know. That would have been perfect, and then boom, now Sandra's priority number one. You planting the seeds and everything, and then Phaedra, you know, she gets a little bit of the heat off of her. I kept waiting for them to say that, and it just never happened.
I wish we got more of Sandra's social work this whole season, because it's so obvious she's been putting in the work.
Oh, so obvious.
I think they waited too long and really liked Sandra and wanted to keep her around. So
yeah, but if it's me or you, you know, you got to use Sandra's words against her. You know, like, as long as it's not me. Like, that would have been a perfect opportunity. And she, because she's such a good social player, you know, going back to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, it's great, but you got to start planting those little cracks, you know, in the fortress or whatever, to make it seem like, okay, like, obviously I'm a big target, but look over here, you know what I'm saying? I feel like that would have really helped Kate and Phaedra out a lot.
It would have. I can't miss out on Phaedra saying that CT flipped on her like a reversible belt. I was like, nah,
a reversible belt.
It's giving odds.
I love her sayings, but yeah, he did. Yeah. But CT is smart, you know, like he trusts his gut and he's smart, but it takes him a minute. You know, he has a big heart, you know, so it's interesting. I love his voice too. He's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. Da, da, da. Like, he has like this really godfathery presence, but I could tell he didn't want to vote for Phaedra, but the guns were so, like, every gun was pointed at her. He couldn't be the one to stand, you know, in the gap. Otherwise, he might be up for elimination.
Very true. Another thing is that CT's such a flirt. Like, the way his dynamic is with all the ladies, but they're like, what's on his face, get it? And MJ's like, no, I got it. It's
right.
Scarf, and he's just like, ooh, like, maybe I'm the bachelor.
Yeah, I kind of like this. I mean, what's not to like? All of them are very beautiful. You know, CT, he's doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, anybody that's ever watched him, that's always kind of a dynamic to his game. He's you know, he's very charming. He's very loving. So
I don't
he's working the room.
Sabaya. I think what he has with Phaedra is unique.
Oh, okay. It's cute, but at the same time, it's like, okay, CT is CT. You know, we've seen him in action, and yeah, he's good at women. He's good at women.
Whatever. Everyone else falls in for breakfast, and boom, John is the one who was murdered.
Yeah.
We have one more impersonation of John. I don't think he sounds like John, but I'll tell you who I think he sounds like after we listen to it.
Okay, got you.
John will be missed. Even upon his death, he will somehow remain in our hearts.
So, I think he sounds like Sean Connery.
A little bit, yeah, I can hear that a little bit. But I feel like the cadence of his voice, he got that spot on, just like how he's like just so profound and so, like, you know, it's obviously a speech. He obviously went over it in the mirror, you know. And it was a really funny moment. I'm glad that they put that in there.
Me too.
R.I.P. John,
he must have been doing that every breakfast, and we rarely saw it, because that's so wild that was
that's so cute.
Everyone breaks apart after breakfast to talk. Honestly, Peter Posse, we're down to Trishelle. Did we think she would be the last remaining person in this?
Honestly, I thought it would be Peter just because of, you know, their reluctancy to get him out from the jump. But mm-hmm. I'm not surprised it's Trishelle, because even though people thought that, you know, Kevin was the number two, or mm-hmm. was it Kevin or Ken?
Yeah, Kevin.
Kevin. Yeah, Kevin, they thought he was number two. And they thought John was number two. But really, I feel like Trishelle was more so Peter's number two. She was so, like, set with the plan, and she was creating her own plans. Like I said, like, her having the intuition to say, I think there's two left, or, you know, it's got to be Phaedra. She's been saying Phaedra, singing Phaedra for a while.
Yeah, that's fair. And then the other side, if we remember, was leftovers. they kind of stuck to it. I mean, they're the ones mm-hmm. left over mostly.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's good to be a leftover sometimes, though. I know, like, even with, like, in Survivor, like, when you're playing the middle has the most power. But the problem with the middle is it can turn on a dime and then you're mm-hmm. gone. So mm-hmm. in this show, I feel like it's a similar situation. I mean, of course, you know, Kate is so under the radar. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's floating. Nobody really suspects her, but nobody's ever suspected Kate really of anything since the beginning. It's like, okay, MJ. Kate, she's...
You're forgetting that iconic MJ, and Kate, she sniffed her out immediately.
I mean, she, it was like, okay, so you're talking about when she said at breakfast that she was being weird.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, but Kate, she's so stone-faced, you know what I'm saying, that the reaction that she had was perfect. It's just like, what? Like, I'm fine. You know what I mean? Like, that was such a Kate response. So I hear you, but I feel like the way that she kind of deflected, it wasn't too much, and it wasn't, you know what I'm saying, like, played up or anything mm-hmm. like that. Like, how could you? Like, she didn't pull a, you know, just like a overly, like a peppermint response, you know what I'm saying? She just was like, dude, like, what are you doing? Like, I'm fine. In proper Kate fashion.
I wonder if she's usually like that, though. I feel like she usually isn't even keel, and she always has something to say. And I do think it's a lot of editing, because we'll talk later. There's one specific part that I'm like, she's being, none of her reactions are being included in this. That I think that's part of the switch up. But also, we learn MJ's very easily swayed. Poor thing.
Yes, she is. I feel like that's my my bye moment. It's her not voting for Phaedra and, like, sending Peter home. I feel like it was like she felt deep down in her gut, you know what I'm saying, that it was Phaedra. I thought she was gonna send her home, and then for whatever reason she picks Peter, you know. And I'm just like, wow, that was I thought for sure, you know, that MJ, she was the only one that was like, I'm open, I'm this, I'm that, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. But that's my buy moment for this episode, is MJ sticking with the girls, voting for, with Phaedra and against Peter.
Got it. All right. After breakfast, Sandra and Phaedra are playing checkers with chess pieces.
Right.
So Sandra makes it clear, look, I've been befriending people to make sure I'm staying here. That's how I've won twice.
It is.
So she did well. I just wish we got more of it.
I agree. Like, they haven't really been showing Sandra's game, but Sandra's game really isn't a dynamic game. And that's, and I don't say that to be disrespectful at all, but Sandra, she's great at getting people to trust her. She's always really the first person that people pull to the side, and she just sits and she just waits and she just watches people, you know, slit each other's throats in front of her. Every once in a while, she'll shake some things up, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, going and, like, spying on people and stuff like that, you know, like, that's Sandra to the T, but she's not going to rock the boat as long as it's going in the direction she wants it to go. And as long as she's on the boat. So it's a very, I mean, it's a tested strategy. She's won $2 million, you know. Look. Hey, look, if it ain't broke.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, so it is Sheree, MJ, Kate talking about who else can be there. Trishelle's talking to CT. She's hyping herself up. She's like, I've been saying Phaedra this whole entire time. No one's to me. And she storms. She's like, I'm going to tell them. And CT's just messy. He's like, I'll go. He finds his little podium or pillar to stand behind as he keeps
yeah.
up. So, and then I think this did not work, which is...
It didn't. It did, because she, I mean, Trishelle, as much as she likes to talk a big game, the girls that she's approaching are a lot more intimidating than Trishelle, I feel, yeah. personally. And yeah. Kate is looking at her, and she just said, are you okay? Like, because I know you ain't talking to us like that.
Exactly.
It was so funny. Like, is everybody all right? Like, because clearly you have something's going on with you, but I don't know where it's being directed. So yeah. I felt that was kind of like her, you know, loading the weapon, but just giving her a chance to speak her piece. And then, of course, once she had that alpha energy and it wasn't just like a crumble, you know, Trishelle's like, oh, well, you know, like, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. And, you know, she kind of switched her tune a little bit from when she was talking to CT all big and bad. So, yeah, I couldn't see Trishelle walking up to these women and really running the conversation. I just didn't see that.
No. And, like, now everyone's bitter that obviously the Bravo alliance made it to the end. Trishelle's just mad that she bet on the wrong people. Because, like, you hurry
that's what I feel.
Me out when you right. were in the Peter Posse literally telling people to turn around.
And
no way.
Exactly. And, like, they were so secretive and they were so. But it's she's never felt on the bottom. She yeah. knows that she is next up. You know what I'm saying? As far as, like, murdering, she feels like she's in the, you know, kind of in a corner. Mm-hmm. And, she's scared, you know, and I feel like she's acting scared, which is not a good tactic. She just needs to be like, hey, guys, like, it's us now. Let's work together. Animosity is not, it's not smart. Like, why are you trying to cause more division when this is your group or supposed to be your group,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so in the end, MJ's like, I'm still open and... if we made any mistake, it wasn't intentional.
Right.
So we'll see. So we don't see what Sheree or Kate are saying, I wrote. I think we see. Oh, yeah. I noticed that when they're like responding to Trishelle coming over, it's the same look that Kate's squinting and looking, and I'm like, I know Kate is saying something. I just
yeah.
don't know why they hit it. And
yeah.
kind of like the same thing with Sheree. I'm like, I know that this was more of a conversation, but we're truly just seeing one side.
Right, exactly. And, you know, there might be some editing going in there, but, I mean, I feel like you said, this was kind of like a momentum build and then whoopee cushion moment, you know, for Trishelle. There wasn't really anything that really came out of it besides what was already there. So I really don't understand the point of it. I really didn't.
Nah, let's go
yeah.
try this thing.
Oh God, this mission was hilarious.
It was. The mission,
but,
this at this point, they're struggling. They're like,
oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, all of their brawn is pretty much gone. I mean, Kate, she's kind of flying under the radar. She is a very fit, you know, player, I feel like, but she doesn't really have as much of the work ethic, you know, physically to really put people on her back. She's just going to do her best, and that's it.
Yeah,
CT, competitor, Trishelle, competitor. And then you got the Bravo gang and Sandra. Sandra is literally famous in Survivor for sitting out.
Yeah.
Of challenges. So,
yeah.
You know, now adding, you know, however many years it's been since the last time she was on the island and as a, you know, in a physical situation, it's been a minute. So when he said Survivor no more, that really,
oh,
man, I was
oh
like,
my gosh.
It's like, hey, relax, you know?
Yes, yes.
Not too much on my girl. She's doing what she can, but it's been time. You know, she's older now, and like she has, you know, other people to carry the load, so.
Yeah. I am so interested in a Survivor season panning out like this, because we hear the opposite all the time of needing to keep the tribe strong and stuff, but it's like, if everyone's on the same level like this,
I mean, hey, look, you saw it play out kind of in my season with Lulu. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody except for, you know, a couple of people were actually apt to do the challenges, and it really just does not go well. It doesn't. I'm happy that they were able to actually complete their challenge, you know, but a lot of times we weren't, you know, so keeping the tribe strong is so important for this specifically, and it gasses out your big guys. I mean, fortunately, they're not on an island having to, you know, get their food and everything. They're eating buffets every day, so they're fine. On the flip side, not so much.
All right. So what they have to do, they're in their wetsuits. There is a bridge, barely a bridge. It's just boards tied to each other with a rope. Everyone has to dig for gold. There's one shield left to save yourself from a murder. And they have to leapfrog to a scale and put gold on it that would equal $30,000.
Yeah.
So, yeah, their first digging, MJ, like a light bulb just went off, and MJ's like, I should get a shield.
Yeah. I feel like everybody needs a shield at this point. I mean, there really isn't anybody that's safe, quote unquote. Like, even in, I feel like the Bravo people, they could be a target just to throw people off the scent. Mm-hmm. And then the people in the Peter piles, they're obviously targets, you know. Well, Trishelle being I just feel like everybody is kind of feeling like, okay, we're at the end. I just want to get to the next day or the next morning, the next breakfast. So yeah, I feel like everybody kind of wanted it, but MJ was like, yeah, like, I need it. I feel like I've been talking too much or whatever, you know, so.
She's a little competitive. Yeah. Do you think she purposely was putting dirt on Trishelle and CT? Because CT had enough of it. He snapped.
He did. He snapped at her. Honestly, I wouldn't put it past her. You know what I'm saying? And it would have been a good strategy because, you know, those two, you know, they are kind of like powerhouses when it comes to opinion and things like that. So, and they're obviously the two like more competitive, more athletic, of this group. So maybe she was trying to sandbag them a little bit. I don't know if she was, good on her, but at the same time, I feel like it was just, she didn't really, you know, in the heat of the moment, she's moving quickly. She's just trying to move fast. And it just so happened that they were behind her, you know?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
She finds the shield and she's like, what do I do with it? You've got to cross the bridge, girl.
Right.
That does not go well.
Oh, goodness. You know, it. And again, you know, MJ, I don't think that she's tooting her horn when it comes to any type of, you know, challenges, athleticism, whatever. She's like, I can do what I can do. But it was a little bit, it did look like Wipeout a little bit, you know, the show from back in the day.
That's absolutely a good one. Yeah. So everyone's taking their turn. Sandra also falls. It's the wobbling to the side, overflipping, and then going in. Then she has a life vest. She actually just uses it to float.
No, literally, like, I know that these challenges are probably a lot harder than they look, but it's just so funny to watch them look. They look so uncoordinated and so bobbly, and you know, the wetsuits, you know, combo with the life jacket doesn't really help them look any more graceful. So it was really funny. I mean, even the host was laughing. It was just a good time. You could tell they had a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Finally, CT and Trishelle figure out the trick. You got to go fast. So it's too quick for you to even fall. They're the only ones now running all of this money. And then finally, they're like, MJ, you really have to put it across.
Oh, my goodness.
Hold on.
No, yeah, definitely. CT and Trishelle, they went into, like he said, game mode, and they just started hitting it hard. I mean, it's not really that far of a distance. Once you get all the gold out, you can pretty much shuttle shifts, and I feel like that's pretty much what they started to do. And, yeah, like, it's kind of like Ninja Warrior. Like, these obstacles, like, they have one like that on Ninja Warrior. You just basically have to just make your center of, it's like kind of like physics. Like, you make your center of gravity in one space. You're not doing too much. And then you're just trying to go across. They're kind of like skipping a rock, you know, across some water. So, yeah, they figured it out, and they got after it, and they got it done. So, definitely kudos to them.
Kudos to them.
And MJ, she came up big. Like, I don't want to take away from her moment. I feel like she definitely, like, was struggling in the beginning, but at the end of the day, she got it done.
Yes, she did. So they also, they added $28,350 to the pot. So now it's $158,000 and $100,000. So they're gonna have to really try to get these people to do this last mission and add as much money as they can to make the
profit. Yeah, they need, they're short almost $100,000. So I don't know. Like, I mean, the challenge piece of this show is kind of interesting to me. Like, I don't know how, I mean, I know that there are instances where it does kind of play into the social aspect, like her adjusting the crossbow to Shishelle, you know, and Kate sabotaging the money earlier on, you know what I'm saying? So, but do I feel like it directly impacts the show? Not as much as Survivor does, because that's, like, who, like, goes to Tribal Council. Would I like to see them in the castle wheeling and dealing a lot more than I would seeing them out here doing challenges I know they probably can't do? Yes, 100%. That's probably, like, my only critique for the show. It's like, oh, another challenge. It's like, this isn't the challenge, you know? Like, I want to see them in the house, you know? Like Clue style. So, yeah.
I agree. I will say, at least it doesn't feel like anything takes up too much time in the episodes. I feel like they just have a good pace of,
yeah,
it takes this much for the mission, this much for after and breakfast. So after the mission, they're hanging out. MJ tells Kate that there is no way for Trishelle or her be up for banishment. That's not what she wants to do tonight. CT then joins them. Kate said, if everyone thinks there are two, then maybe we should roll the dice on the person who we're not sure about, and then at the finale, we take out the traitor that we know. That actually sounds like a good strategy.
Here we go. Yeah, this is where Kate really had her moment, and I feel like it was kind of disheartening to see it not reoccur at the round table the way that I wanted it to. But at the same time, I understand Kate's reasoning. It's like, hey, man, if you're not going to fight for you, I'm not about to make myself more high profile for you to leave and then me to be here by myself with this high profile and high target. So I respect her decision. But, you know, that was a perfect plan. And that's exactly, I mean, they didn't bring up the, you know, movement of the crossbow, Sandra, that being her idea, whatever, as some actual evidence. But Sandra is a great target. She's won Survivor twice. Yep. It makes sense for her to be recruited. It makes sense. It just makes sense for her to be a traitor. It just does. She's a villain. You know, she's on one of the, like, she's a heroes versus villains. She was on the villain side. You know what I'm saying? There's a reason for that. So I feel like it was a great plan by Kate, but I don't think that she ever got the chance to talk to Phaedra to really, you know, get on the same page. At least I don't feel like it was shown.
No.
If they did, so.
Yeah, I wonder, out of the people who are left, who knows what about Sandra and Survivor? I just wish we got, like, a little bit more talk, because it really is, like, how did you let Sandra get to the end?
100%. I mean, you could say the same thing about the last season with Ceree. Like, yeah, Ceree wasn't necessarily a winner of Survivor, but she is, like, arguably one of the most strategic players to ever play the game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you kind of have to question it, but at the same time, I feel like the Survivor players are benefiting from some of these people. Survivor's not really their thing. You know, they don't really watch us, or they know of us, but they haven't watched all the seasons and they haven't seen all of the stories play out. So I feel like it's been kind of like cloaking our abilities. You know, they know that we're good at challenges, like physical stuff, but they don't necessarily know what the archetype is for Sandra.
And I think even now, if you're, like, on social media, you see how much the Bravo ladies don't know about Survivor stuff. Because Tamara be saying things about poverty. Survivor fans are like, there's, like, 2 million people who watch Poverty win.
Right.
Okay? So,
right. More than that, look.
Oh, gosh.
Right. Like,
these Bravo women, they're very much in their own bubble.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But then Sandra, she's peeking out. She's peeking out the window. She's like, she's talking a lot over there.
Uh-huh. It's what she does best. She can see, Sandra can see through the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, she, her radar is so good when it comes to social interaction. And she literally, you know, they can't hear them. But she's just like, wow, she's running that conversation. She can see through a window.
Yep.
Kate is running that conversation. And she doesn't even know that, hey, it's about me.
Yeah.
But just her intuition is so good that she's like, you know what? I'll be right back.
I also wonder if Kate doesn't talk that much around her. Because I think that's what would really put up my antenna. Is like, oh, Kate wants to talk today. Let me actually hear. Because she's not talking around me.
For sure. Yeah, like we see Kate with her little comments, you know, here and there. And, you know, she loves a good, you know, girl fight situation. Mm-hmm. You know, when she has somebody that she doesn't feel like is necessarily a worthy opponent, she'd be kind of a mean girl, you know? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we haven't seen her be, you know, here's what we're going to do type posture. And I feel like that was the difference between, you know, when Sandra saw her through the window and when she might have seen her, you know, around the castle.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Sandra joins, and this is something that I think the Bravo girls don't know, like the gamers, is that when someone joins the conversation, you need to be real good at playing it off. And I think you also need a backup.
Backup. Name. Yeah, you got to have a backup. You got to have a backup. Someone catches you at the water well talking about them. You have to have a backup. If you can cry on cue, it needs to happen right now. Like, immediately. So, yeah, she did a horrible job. Saying, oh, like somebody else, we don't know. Even if she would have said, Sheree, just throw somebody else's name out there that's not standing right next to you. It doesn't matter. Everybody that you were talking to before knows what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. They're not going to take it to heart. Now you just need to feed some bad information to Sandra so that when she goes back to Sheree, that can cause some issues or whatever. And as a traitor, that's good. So it was definitely a missed opportunity for Kate, you know, to definitely plant some seeds and get Sandra thinking and get her off the scent, because it was hard to watch. I'm not gonna lie. It was hard to watch. I was like, oh man, this not good at all.
So Sheree, on the other hand, she's had this long friendship with Phaedra. She sees that everyone's gunning for Phaedra. This is just pulling at Sheree.
Yeah.
But she says in her interview that she does not know or think that Phaedra's a traitor. I feel like we've seen Sheree in the past say that she thought Phaedra was a traitor. So it's like, guys, we need to keep a narrative.
She's back and forth, though. And I mean, it makes sense for her to kind of be on the fence with her long-term friend, I feel like. Because you never feel like the one that's closest to you is holding the knife, you know? And it's hard. But, I mean, Phaedra, in her defense, I mean, Parvati wanted to kill Phaedra with the, what was it? The cup?
Yep.
Like, remember, she was almost about to give it to Sheree, and then Phaedra, like, looked at her like, you better pick somebody else. So they've been having each other's back, obviously, in this game. Like they do in real life. I mean, I think she said they were friends for 30 years. So it's like,
yeah, but it's like a housewife friend. Like,
yeah,
consistently on good terms. Every time they started talking about their history together, I was like, guys, come on.
But either way, you know, whether you were in the shit or whether you were having fun, that time is time. She's just like, oh, like, I hope it's not her. I don't feel like she can really, like, lie straight to my face. You know, when she said that, I was like, ah, like, of course she can, you know? Yeah. It was hard.
I am giving Sheree the misguided faithful of the week.
Makes sense. Yeah. She was the one that was most, and you would think that them spending as much time as they have, she would be able to know her ticks and her tells, you know, but you play poker enough with the person, you got to know what they do when they're lying. So the fact that she was able to, you know, say it to her face, but she did end up voting for her.
Yeah.
You know, she did end up voting for her. So yeah, we kind of have to give her a little bit of kudos in that regard. Like, even though she was on the fence, she got right in the end, and that's what matters. But yeah, she was definitely, it was a rough episode for Sheree, for sure.
We are now at the round table, and everyone has their focus on Phaedra.
Yeah.
You know, they're asking her to defend herself. She says there's nothing concrete, and she's tired of fighting. She also, previously, at the beginning of the episode, she told Sheree and Sandra, it's all circumstantial. And I'm like, not her lawyering.
But look, when you're tired, you revert back to what's natural. You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like when you're fatigued, that's like what people do. You know, you get back to what's natural to you. Yep. And so I do feel like that was kind of Phaedra's downfall, is that she put her lawyer hat on when she needed to put her empathy hat on, or her, you know, her sympathy hat on, or like something that was a lot less masking of her emotions, you know. It would have been a perfect moment for her to lean into those emotions and be like, guys, like, I'm a faithful, like, I have no idea why I'm on the block. Like, it's clear that the people that were traitors were trying to throw my name out there just so they would have someone to talk about. Like, clearly I've been the target, but you know what's great about being a big target is that you're a shield for other big targets. You know what I'm saying? So she did not speak her piece before it was time to vote. I don't feel like she did. Circumstantial evidence is still evidence.
Yes.
In a game like this. And if you don't have a rap sheet for someone else, you're the one that's getting kicked out. So missed opportunity for Phaedra, unfortunately. She was doing so well. Feel like she just burned out, you know? And she said it. She was tired.
I think you bring up a really good point about, like, the empathy hat, because that was something that Phaedra was killing at the beginning. Wiping Dante's tears, Bernalicious, all that stuff. I wonder if she stopped doing that. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. That's what I said. The fog of war started to get to her, man. She was like, oh, man, I keep, you know, having to lie to people. I keep having to send people home. You know, I don't think that it was hard for her, as much as I feel like people coming at her character, or people, like, you know, trying to really, like, get into her at these round tables. She's been taking the beatings for the last three episodes. So it was time. It was her time. She didn't have anything else to pull out of her hat.
No, she didn't. Yeah. So everyone starts voting, and CT has something to say this time around, because so far it's almost everyone voting Phaedra. So when Phaedra has to vote, which, again, she should have been working on some kind of thing to make something make sense, she does a vote against CT, being like, I'm here for girl power. CT was so quick to be like, sexism.
Sexist. That was so funny. Sexism. That's hilarious. I'm like, oh, CT, come off it, man. Come off it. You know, but I mean, Phaedra, that would have been her perfect time to help Kate out a little bit. Throw a vote for Sandra. Tell them that, hey, Sandra told me to shoot for Trishel. Sandra is the biggest survivor, one of the big, arguably one of the best people to play Survivor, which is a game of social strategy. She's playing y'all. It's Sandra. She did not give cloak to anything that Kate had going on. And so, again, another missed opportunity by Phaedra.
Well, Kate, when she casts her vote, she's like, you're a very selfish player.
And that wrong thing to say. Like, how is she being selfish if you're not a traitor too? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, her falling on her own sword would only be selfish if you're a traitor. And of course, Sandra picks up on it, and she's like, and comes to her right after, you know, and she's like, well, what did you mean by that? Tell me more. And then she doesn't have a ready response for being questioned about it. And I'm just like, Kate, you shot yourself in the foot, man. Now you're bleeding out and, you know, you got miles to walk. It's just crazy to me that she would say that. Like, what? Like, you're so, like, you know what I'm saying? You're getting by. Yeah, the MJ thing. But, you know, you could have just been being weird. Kate has been saying that she wants to go home since day one. Yep. It's not a secret that, you know, breakfast is not really her time of the day. Mm-hmm. But her saying that Phaedra was selfish.
Yeah.
And her knowing that the reason she said it is because she didn't fight for herself.
Yep.
She wanted other people to fight for her. And that's what she was saying in her confessionals and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I was just like, now, why would you say that at the round table, girl? Come on.
The emotions got the best of her.
I know.
In the end, Phaedra has been banished.
Job well done. Phaedra, honestly, she's a beautiful person to watch. I loved her maturation throughout the show. Like, yeah, she gassed out, but she had been in the seat since day one, you know, and she had to deal with a lot of stuff. She had to deal with Dan and his stuff and poverty and her stuff. And it was, they were high profile the whole time. You know, she was the only one that really wasn't suspected. And the only reason why she was suspected is because they both tried to throw her under the bus on their way out. So I don't really feel like that's her fault, and I don't really feel like it's as much an attribute to her game. I just feel like she ran out of time. Circumstances, she ran out of time.
I agree. Her last words is, I am the most faithful traitor. Love Sheree's reaction, because Sheree was like, I'll save the train. Like, what? That wasn't ever an option. Why'd she say that?
Yeah, she was just trying to draw out the suspense, and you gotta love Phaedra for the drama, man. Like, she's gonna be missed. I mean, honestly, I don't feel like the show will be as fun without her little, you know, sayings and her little moments of, you know, just. I don't even know what this is, but that's how I feel about Phaedra. I love her energy. She's great.
She is great, but luckily we don't have much longer to go without her. So we are down to Kate. Kate is already having to fight for her life because she could not stop herself. Who do you think she is going to murder tonight?
So I knew you were going to ask me this, and it really could go one of two ways. One would be just get Sandra out of there. But Sandra going right now, who was sitting in the room when Sandra came to ask Kate that question? Do you remember?
Oh.
Because it wasn't like they were in a group. It was like three of them.
Ray?
Maybe. Okay.
I know a lot, but not 100%.
So the only person that saw Sandra question Kate was, let's say it's Sheree. We don't know, but let's say it's Sheree. That's good. It's good that it didn't happen on Front Street. And if I feel like if she just gets Sandra out of there, because she's the only one that might be suspected of Kate outside of MJ, you know, with the weirdness or whatever. But MJ and Kate, they're cool. At least they appear to be cool. So I feel like she would have a better time or easier time battling with MJ than she would with Sandra.
Absolutely.
The other side of things is just to get Trishel out of there. Now, with that, it's kind of it's dicey, but at the same time, it forces the Bravo people to have to look inside of the alliance for the traitor. And because Sandra is not necessarily Bravo, she is more than likely to be priority number one instead of Kate. So she can kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, if she gets out Sandra, who is obviously the number two, or the number one suspected next to Phaedra, right? Or just to kind of like spice it up, like, oh my God, okay, well, if Sandra's dead, then who? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or kill Trishel. She's already knows that she's on her way out. Peter Powell's are no more. And Sandra becomes priority number one because she is the most strategic. And hopefully she brings up the fact that she was the one that suggested that they redirect things to Trishel, and she can blame her for Trishel's death, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, she didn't want Trishel to get the shield, remember? And now Trishel is dead, mm-hmm. you know? So that would be my saying. I don't know. What do you think?
Okay, so if it was Phaedra, it would have probably been Trishel, because Phaedra, I don't think, it's good at, like, switching up the murder strategy part.
Right.
But now it's Kate. Oh, we really haven't seen Kate lead the charge in anything as a traitor, so I just don't know who she is as a traitor, you know?
I love that it's changing like that, though. She comes into the game late, and now she's going to end the game.
Yeah.
Hit the steering wheel. I love the drama of that.
I think she's going to keep Sandra away. Just because, that's who she's working a case against. Mm-hmm. So maybe it is Trishel.
I hope it's Trishel.
I honestly hope it is.
If it's anyone else, she's in hot water. Because Trishel and Sandra's strategizing together is a bad thing for Kate. Because they're going to narrow it down. They're going to. She's the most obvious outside of those two, I feel like. Now, I mean, you could try to flip it on Trishel, say like, oh, she was a plant inside of the Peter Pals and she's been a traitor the whole time. I don't know. I don't know how that would go. That would take a lot more work socially that I don't feel like Kate is equipped necessarily or even has the desire to do. So if she doesn't get one of them out, it might be curtains for her the next round table. I'm telling you that.
I will say I think Faithfuls are winning this season.
Your call?
That's my call. I think they are. I was talking about all this stuff with Chappelle, and I was like, oh no, I have a feeling Trishel.
I love Chappelle.
Yes, me too. I was like, I have a feeling it's Trishel because we've seen so much of her story throughout the whole entire season. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why? Mm-hmm. Why is she like such a big character almost in every episode? But I know a lot of people are rooting for Sandra to get her other win.
Oh, yeah. It would be amazing. I mean, at this point, she doesn't need an introduction, but that would be cool for just the Survivor fan base and like our whole entire, world. But at the same time, I feel like Kate, we can't count her out, you know? Like, she could be an underdog. I feel like she was trying to get the strategy and stuff going. We saw a glimmer of it, you know what I'm saying? But it kind of got shut down and it's not her bag, you know what I'm saying? So she didn't really have a move to, but maybe she goes home, she thinks, and then she comes back ready to play. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would have to see one more episode before I make that decision, but I'm not counting out Kate. It would be great to see Sandra get another one. I do agree that they've been sticking with, Trishel's storyline. It's been very, wave tops, but sometimes they do that just to kind of like lead you, build it up and then have her vote banishment be the most dramatic, so there definitely is a rising action going on right there, but we just don't know where the climactic, response is going to be for Trishel.
Yeah.
I hope that the traitors win again.
Interesting. It'll be wild. It'll be wild that season two is going to be remembered for having like Dan Geese, like Sandra, and all of that, and then it comes down to Kate one.
That would be awesome. But I mean, I awesome for the fans, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it would make also people more eager to play as a faithful, because I feel like going in, everybody kind of wants to be a traitor low-key, you know what I'm saying? Like, at the first round table, everybody's kind of hoping. But I feel like for the next season, you know, when they come back, if the traitors win this second W, it'll incentivize people to want to get good at being faithfuls. Like, we saw it with Peter. He had a strategy. He had an alliance. Like, you didn't really see that as much in season one. And right. He was really working and narrowing, and he was responsible for both traitors getting knocked out. But it's like, where's the line? How mm-hmm. far are you willing to go? He kind of lived long enough to see himself become the villain, you know? So it's like, we saw that, but the fans also saw that, and the other people that might be recruited to go play the show, they've seen that style of game too. So maybe it will just make it to where people want to be faithfuls, you know, and they want to be good at being faithfuls, not just going through it, kind of frolicking until they're getting slaughtered, because that's a lot of that went on in season one.
Yeah, I'm sure Peter has inspired some people, especially, like, I can't imagine what the next Bachelor person will be, whoever didn't end up with someone on their season, trying to switch the person, because that seems to be the theme with Ari and Peter, that they did mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm sure Bachelor people will be like, I need to get on Traitors, I need to make myself a star. Can you believe it has come out that there was a showmance this season that we just never saw, Peter and Ekansu?
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that. I did not Ekansu. Okay, Ekansu. Not Ekansu. Lord.
Yes.
That's cute, though. That's very cute. I could definitely see them being a very cute, I mean, very beautiful couple. I mean, if it does work out. But no, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. That's cool.
There was a picture that popped up of Ekansu with Peter's mom. So everyone was like,
okay.
And then I think it was pretty much confirmed. And I was like, not the Love Island and Bachelor person being like, we have to, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's cute, though. I feel like, you know, we didn't really get to see a lot of Ekansu, but Peter, you know, he's a charming individual. You know, like, I feel like in the game, he kind of got vilified, you know, because he was so intense and he was playing aggressive. But he definitely has a lot of traits that are, you know, becoming when it comes to what people want. I mean, he's the Bachelor, for crying out loud. You know what I'm saying? So
I forgot he was so tall. Oh, Every time he is around someone, and it's like the way straight women and tall men, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. Hey, look, I'm 5'10", so it helps me out too. I can't lie about that. That's like my partner's favorite thing I feel like about me, is that I'm so tall.
Yeah.
So look, I'm not gonna knock my own game, but exactly. You're right. It is definitely something like the Prince Charming, you know, tall, dark hair, dark skin, smile, da da da. You know, we hear it and we're conditioned. It's just society, and you know.
Very true. He also has the biggest savior complex. I mean, are we shocked that before he leaves, he said, "I tried to save you all"?
It's like, okay, I hear you, but he did, you know, like, it's like, oh man, like, he was, Peter, I honestly loved him in this season. Do I agree with everything that he did? No. Could he have been more warm in situations, less godfather, more, you know, stepfather? Yes.
Yes.
You know? He should have been more warm and more inviting. He was so militant, and everybody, take it from me, everybody doesn't respond well to being told what to do or being left out of information. So I don't understand why he didn't have those groups. Okay, it's like, I do understand controlling the information because you don't know who's who. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand that by you not including them in your information, mm-hmm. you're pointing the finger. It's like an invisible finger that you're pointing at them.
Yes.
So I love Peter. He did try to save them. He did try to, you know, plead, but his ego definitely got in the way of his game.
Absolutely.
It did. And I love Peter. But man, like, it
good at flirting and everything. He needed to pull a Parvati and just start. He could have easily been a Parvati type of player.
Yeah, more ditzy. Play up the ditz, man. Like the ditziness. Like you, yeah. I feel like if I had the opportunity to play again, I feel like that was one of my biggest flaws in my game was too calculated, too intuitive, too rounding up the troops. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Too much strategy early on. Yeah. It can definitely come back to bite you. I'm speaking from my own perspective. You know what I'm saying? So, but if you play up the ditziness, like me and Katora talk about this all the time, like, I'm just here. I'm just in the background. I don't really know what's going on. But then you have your select few people that you're like, girl, you know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But keep it light. He got too heavy. He got too heavy, too quick.
Yes. What is your beautiful black moment of this episode?
My beautiful black moment is, it has to be Sheree and Phaedra's relationship. You know, like, even though they haven't always necessarily been on the best terms, you know, in their world, they were unified in this world to the very end. And I know that when Phaedra said in her speech, I hope there's no hard feelings. Mm-hmm. I know she was talking to Sheree.
Yeah.
She wasn't. And in Sheree's confessional, she said, you know, she was playing a game and she was doing a great job. And so hopefully, you know, on the other side of the coin, they can still remain friends and everything like that. So that's my beautiful black moment. I love it. I love a girl's girl. And Phaedra, she makes me feel like she's a girl's girl for sure.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, she voted for CT and said it. You know, she's like, girl power.
She did. She did. I'm still thinking of her housewife self.
Like, oh, yeah, definitely.
My beautiful black moment will have to be, I had it and then I lost it a little. Mm-hmm. It was Phaedra. I think Phaedra getting a little bit of her accolades, because when CT votes, or maybe it's afterwards, he was like, I think you had to be what you aren't outside of the game. Here, are still, like, the best trainer. Debatable, because you can't forget Ceree was just here.
Right, exactly. Can't forget Ceree ever, but Phaedra held her own.
Our trainer of this season? Yes.
100%. Yeah. Not even close. Like, I mean, the squint and pout was a dead giveaway for Parvati. And then Dan, he was just slippery from the beginning. Like, he just didn't know how to take a stand. And then when he finally took a stand, he threw Phaedra under the bus. And I hated that. You know, they were conspiring against her from the beginning. Like, you have to do that sometimes, but only when you have to.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like Ceree kind of set the blueprint for that, you know, early on in season one. Mm-hmm. So why they were trying to throw her under the bus was just kind of a testament of how bad they were playing, that they had to already try to cannibalize one of their own. And of course, it's Phaedra.
Yep. Yeah.
You know,
the traitors had no code this season.
Yeah. I'm just like, man, like, geez, Louise, you know.
All right, but, you beat me to it with the chaotic bye. So I have to think the chaotic bye.
Chaotic bye moment. Definitely MJ not voting for Phaedra, because that's her girl and everything like that. And she sided with, you know, the girls and everything. Like, very, very bi energy. But it was awful. Like, clearly Peter ends up going home and he's a faithful, and it's like, MJ, that's your fault. You know, like, I mean, other people voted for Peter too, but at the end of the day, it came down to her. So
I'll take that as mine too.
Okay. Yeah. I don't really, I thought about that a lot, cause I didn't really have a good one last time I was on or whatever. So I just wanted to make sure that I had one for you this time.
Yes, you did great. All right. That is it for this episode, the penultimate of Traitors Season 2. Sabaya, where can people follow you?
All right. You can follow me on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it now, at Aunt BZ. You can follow me, BZ with a Y. You can follow me on Instagram at _ the solar, like your soul, Poppy. So SOULAR, Poppy, PAPI. What else? TikTok. It's just Sabaya Broderick. I'm not really super crazy social media wise, but you know, if you just want to see me doing everyday stuff, posting stuff about Survivor, doing like workout videos and stuff like that, dancing on TikTok, you know, but hey, look, tune in. I would love to have you. Love you guys.
Definitely. And I am your host, Nicole Weaver. You can follow me at Nikki Bernice across socials, but more importantly, I hope you follow Black by Reality on everything when it comes to socials. We have so many recaps. We're going to talk about the finale of The Traitors. We are talking about Survivor. I talked about the premiere with Owen Knight of Survivor 3. I know. And we completely finished our recap of Couple to Thruple. If you have not watched it on Peacock, please do. It's very queer. We have a main black couple been enjoying it. And lastly, Love is Blind Season 6. It's been season three.
I love that show.
I did not know that. I
love that show. I love Love is Blind, man. Like Jimmy and Chelsea, oh my God, they are crazy.
All right, guys, I'm going to stop Sabaya right there when it comes to her thoughts on Love is Blind. It actually included, it's almost 30 minutes of her talking about Love is Blind with me in the Love is Blind recap for this week. So that's for episodes 10 and 11. Check them out to see what she has to say. But that's it for now. I had so much fun filming with Sabaya. Thank you, Sabaya, for coming back a second time. And I hope you guys stay tuned for the finale recap and everything else we got going on this channel, on this podcast. Bye.